Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All the levels were down.
There
banter.
We go. Check. Let's just do a quick check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
6, 7, 8, 8.
What? 8, 9, 8, 9, 8, 9, 8, 9, 8, 9.
Hike. Right. Yeah, that sounds fine. That sounds absolutely great.
That
there you
sounds
go, boys.
Fantastic. Oh, how's your week been so far, guys?
Superb. Very midweeky.
Yeah, wonderful. Tremendous Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad to have Tuesday out of the way now and be able to focus on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday only between now and more Six Nations. Actually, Six Nations comes a day earlier today, doesn't it?
Cause on Friday night.
DJ Spoonie and the Jean-Michel Jarre laser.
See, I don't know why you guys don't like that. I like it. I do like it.
What, genuinely, you liked DJ Spoonie at the
yeah,
Millennium Stadium as it was, Principality Stadium.
See, different places do different things. So I'll just tell you now. There was a lot of criticism this week of Pat Lambie with his hat and all his sponsors.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. I forgot to talk about that in our podcast a few days ago. Yeah, it was just an interesting development. Apparently, Super Rugby had been doing that for quite a while. Yeah.
So, my point on this is I love all the sponsors, just not on the English Premiership kits because it wasn't there to start with. But the French teams have always looked like Formula One teams. So there is a place for everything. It's DJ Spoonie and all the Welsh dance music. That's what
no,
been
is.
There,
no,
been there since the late 1800s when the Test matches first started in Wales.
Yeah, when the Treorchy Miners were playing against someone else.
Yeah,
they were listening to DJ Spoonie.
In their defence, music is something I always think of when I think of Wales. The nation and rugby in Wales, but I think of Welsh choirs, not.
Oh, come on, you've been down to South Wales.
It is a cultural thing, I guess. In
exactly. Free sleeve tattoo with every Ospreys jersey sold. It's just part of the culture there, mate.
Oh, it's banter flying around already. Lads. Let's get on with this. This is the midweek international podcast as we look ahead to the Six Nations. We're recording this one on Tuesday night, Honest Gov. And we're going to talk about the big games that are happening this weekend. Let's get into this. Hands in pod on three. 1, 2, 3.
Pod.
It is once again the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're just three mates that love the game and we've been sitting here jabbering on about it for a good few years now, and thank you for being with us. I'm Tim. Phil is right over there.
Hello, Tim.
JB to my left.
Hello, Timothy.
And we were just talking about some shameless sponsorship opportunities, which, as you pointed out, Super Rugby have been doing with giving the man of the match in post-match chats a cap with the team sponsor on F1 style. You would never catch us taking any opportunity to mention a sponsor. Sorry, actually, just one second, lads. Got to finish shaving. Oh, that's that razor is razor sharp, let me tell you. Sorry.
Exactly.
I should have done that before the podcast, but I didn't.
Well, it's just so easy.
So convenient.
Exactly.
You can do it really is. If you want to get the best razor on the market, we've been long-time fans of Cornerstone, and we were heartened to hear, but also it was no surprise to us to hear lots of people getting in touch with us in the week to say that Cornerstone was featured in a razor test by the BBC and was ranked best in class.
Mm.
Now, where were you, the BBC, 2 years ago when we were one of the first people to try and back and throw our weight behind Cornerstone Razors. Where were you then? Some lead and some follow. But if the Beeb agreeing with us that it is the best razor on the market, that's all good. But the BBC can't get you an amazing discount. We can. And that is, if you go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, you can get yourself a free engraved aluminium shaft along with your first order, which, because you get a £10 discount from us, will cost you £4. Less than a pint in a lot of places you drink right now. cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or...
Egg10 at checkout. Right. And can I just add my own thing? It's genuinely the best razor since Razor Ramon retired. I mean, that's how good it is.
Oh, do you remember him with his slick back, wet hair and the toothpick?
Exactly. Oddly, never shaved, though.
No, you're right. Yeah. Quite right. So this is a podcast where we're going to be talking about the international rugby that's coming up. If you want to hear about the Avicii Premiership, Pro 12, Super Rugby and all the transfers and stuff, listen to the podcast that's already in our feed. Subscribe and then you'll get them all. We're on iTunes, we're on Acast. Leave your reviews on iTunes. We're at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. We're Egg Chasers Podcast on Instagram. Wherever you are, we are. Right, where do you want to start things? We've got three big games this weekend. We've also got the European Rugby Nation. What is the name of that? I need to get this down.
European Rugby Nations Championship
Cup.
let me just confirm it. So it is the Rugby Europe Championship is what it's called.
Do you know, in 10 days... we're going to be in Romania.
I can't wait.
Wow.
Yeah. And we've practiced our live podcast to the nth degree. It's going to be smooth as anything. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
We need to... maybe I might want to just do one more little run through.
Yeah. Just a quick... We'll do that. We'll do that on Saturday night, won't we?
Well, just one run through, maybe.
Saturday night at 10 p.m. we'll be doing the run through.
I'm almost tempted to do it. Forget it. yeah.
And by the way, if you are coming with us to Romania, then fantastic. We'll update you on all the information. In fact, we'll talk about that later in the podcast. If you're not, and why should you care? Well, it's because we are going to go into uncharted territory for many UK-based rugby fans going behind, well, not enemy lines, but we're going to go going to go into uncharted waters in Bucharest.
Who the hell's playing, Tim? ISIS versus Al-Qaeda. Aleppo.
And we're going to go and see what it's like in Tier 2 and in another proud European city and two proud rugby nations. So we'll talk about that in a bit. But where do you want to start? As English fans, we obviously are looking at England-Scotland, but if you were being objective, what's the most eye-catching fixture? Still England-Scotland?
So before the tournament started, I would have said... Wales, Ireland.
Yes. No. I think they're about even these two.
Well, before the tournament started, and historically over the past 6 years plus 10 years, that has been the bigger fixture. In this championship, I would actually argue that the bigger fixture is the England-Scotland game.
Yes. I mean, if you looked at our pre-tournament predictions, they kind of stack up. We didn't think Wales would do that well anyway. And I think they flattered to deceive against England. They put in hell of a shift. Of course they did. But actually, they are the team that we thought they were. And they're not actually that substantial.
I think they were helped, particularly in that England game, by just how badly England played. Mm. And in fact, how badly England have played for 90% of the minutes they've been on the field in this tournament.
Yes.
And I think that was the real story. And again, ourselves included, along with most people, got sidetracked a bit by the tactical situation with Italy, but actually the bigger part of that story was England were just poor in general.
Yeah, not great. Some very good moments of individual skill, but you would always expect that against Italy.
Well, can I just talk about Italy? Because in the last podcast, you referred to the implementation of the fox.
The fox.
Now, I did not know that not joining the ruck is called the fox.
Or some people seem to be calling it that.
Is this a term that's just come about?
Yeah.
Foxing. Yeah. I think it would turn into foxing eventually.
Possibly.
What was that film with Fox? The Fox thing?
Foxcatcher.
Foxcatcher.
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah, that's...
Is that what that's referring to?
Yeah, that's my ultimate goal. When I get rich, I'm going to have like a gym full of wrestlers outside. Yeah.
Oiled up wrestlers for your pleasure.
So is a foxcatcher now meaning just picking and going straight through the middle of a ruck?
I guess
that's like fox evading.
Yeah.
It's like you're a chicken. You just run through the thing. Chicken run. I've That's got, what it should be called, the chicken run.
What do you think of my new rule? As you all know, I'm
law.
Very, law. I'm very good at making up laws, but here you go. Here is a law to avoid foxing. If the ruck is not formed,
yep.
and they go tackle only, you're not allowed to touch the scrum half, are you? So you've got to be a metre away.
You've got to be, yeah. Okay? Yeah.
Which gives the scrum half a load of time. So if there's no offside line for the defensive players with no ruck, my new law is this. There is no offside for a box kick should the nine decide to box kick it. So, yeah, so they have to touch the ruck to make it a ruck, which creates the offside line, or they wouldn't run the risk of a box kick and be no offside.
So a winger could theoretically just run 40 yards into the opposition.
Yeah, so if Italy, for instance, have done this three or four times, they're going to, you send your winger just over there.
He just starts running.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden Italy go, oh, Christ, we're going to have to start. Okay. So it does two things. It commits men to the ruck,
I don't understand. The winger would be the winger can't play the ball though.
He can.
Yeah, it's because
there's no offside.
No. But the winger can't play the ball that gets box kicked.
Yeah, he can. It's an offside line.
No, but there's still an offside line once you kick a ball.
Nope, not in this rule. That's the rule.
Yeah.
The
I understand the rule you're trying to say.
But the second boot hits ball, that is an offside line, and you can only play the ball if you started behind that.
And that's the rule. There is now no offside line.
Yeah, that doesn't create an offside line when you kick.
Oh, okay, that
so,
law.
You can't give it to your fly half, but if the scrum half boxes it, now here's the thing.
But that happened though. Yeah. No.
But, so, Jake, you keep going on your explanation.
Yeah, go on.
So, here's the thing. As soon as Italy have done this two or three times and you move that guy to catch the ball, because it's not there's an offside line, Italy start going into the ruck. Now, you can actually start to get quite creative with this, because you could say, as an administrator of the game, if you want to shorten defensive lines for more tries because modern defences are so good, maybe it takes not one man to create a ruck, maybe it takes two men to create a ruck.
This sounds like Aussie rules. You know when a player kicks it forward and there's a big three people all leaping for a ball to catch it?
No, because all the defensive team need to do is hold the ruck. So you don't need to join it with your shoulder.
No. The principle that...
Because then there's an offside line.
The principle that there's no offsides from a box kick.
Yeah, but there is if there's a ruck.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine... Like, the fact that I'm struggling means that a casual rugby fan, which...
They're all casual, mate.
The Six Nations, what is brilliant for... And bearing in mind, I mean, this was quite... This was a very, very in-depth rugby thing to have got onto, the Italy thing, for the rugby universe to have got onto, because... It was really hard to explain simply without then going, so offside is this, which meant actually most TV people, news, all of that, radio, they just kind of ignored it because actually it's only good for people that are already in with rugby, and it just turns people off that aren't. So.
Yeah, I'm more with Tim on this this law change, because I just think it is... It's creating an extra layer of complication.
And
I don't think it's the benefit for the team attacking is actually that
and
great.
And do you know what you'd get? You'd get more of, I just want to check whether that hand was in contact with the ruck. Was there one hand or two hand? Okay, that is a ruck, therefore that was offside, therefore no try. You'd get more of that.
You'd get a lot of that. But it would cure it overnight. And I think no one would ever try it again.
It'd cure it overnight if England just did what other teams do when it happens. Anyway, we don't need to go on about that again.
Yeah, I think now we've had that incident, I don't think there needs to be any law changes at all.
No.
Because everyone is now acutely aware of how you deal with it.
Most people were acutely aware before.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Apparently, it happens all the time in sevens. Check out my interview with Rob Vickerman.
Yeah. So.
Rugby Dungeon. Talk H.
Oh, for goodness sake. Can we get on to talking about this week's Six Nations?
Hey, it's done though, isn't it? It's done.
England-Scotland.
Do you want...
Let's do... A combined 15 of the two sides that we think may start. Well, actually, before we do that, let's talk about England's selection issues, because Scotland are probably going to go, let's keep it the same, you would think.
Yeah, I would have thought so. They might possibly have Sean Maitland back fit, but...
Over Visser?
No, they might have an option there, but there's no way I'd change it.
Whereas England, off the back of a poor performance at Italy, and again, trying to put the tactics to one side, they were poor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you change? First question, Billy Vunipola, bench or starting?
72 minutes on the weekend, bench.
Yeah. Now, Yeah, it has to be bench. I just can't see him starting, but I love the option of having him come on when there are tired bodies to have that kind of impact.
What a wreck that's going to be.
Yeah. Because I don't think I've ever seen him utilised as a bench player before.
Not that I can remember, no. Mm. Sure, he has been, but I can't remember.
Yeah, maybe a bit early in his career.
In his early days.
He's such like...
In Saracens, yeah.
Like, in NFL terms, he's that back which just carries on pounding and pounding and pounding.
Yeah.
And that's, it's like an accumulative effect of Billy Vunipola.
Now, just very briefly then, because I think I touched on this in the last podcast, but there have been some suggestions that the fuss that's being made over Billy Vunipola, and JB, you talked about the fact it's just because he's a world-class player, the amount of fuss that's being made about Billy Vunipola coming back and playing for Saracens indicates that maybe there's a lack of strength in depth in England's back row.
Well, England's back row has not been playing well at all. They've not been functioning.
No, it's been poor.
Nathan Hughes has worked tirelessly, but he's got a bit to go to catch up with Billy, certainly. Itoje has been a bit hit and miss as a six, and then certainly Clifford didn't do what he needed to do as a seven.
Clifford was poor.
Yeah, Woods played around it.
I'm not sure anyone in the back row has done anything special.
No.
Certainly not Lions squad special of anyone that's been involved in those.
Why
would
these sevens, with the trials and tribulations of the England seven shirt, which was previously held by Haskell, well, it is held by Haskell now, but when he was missing, why not Don Armand? The man's a monster.
Mark Wilson.
Mark Wilson is a good.
Yeah, neither. But Eddie Jones seems to like Mike Williams in the squad.
He's used Clifford recently. He's used Tom Wood recently. And Tom Wood did well in the autumn, let's be fair.
He did.
But the back row hasn't functioned very well. Mm. So, but people are going very excited about the fact Billy's back. And so maybe it does highlight a slight lack of strength and depth. And you think about England players that might go with the Lions, you probably say, you could quite understand it if you'd say only Billy Vunipola out of the back row would go from the back row. So
Haskell go. tell you what, great tourist. Great tourist would, means a lot.
He would be a great tourist. And in 2013, they took Matt Stevens.
And that's exactly what I was going to say.
As a bit of a joker, a team bonder. He's not going to be near the test team.
I tell you what, Haskell will be a lot more useful than that guy you just mentioned.
Matt Stevens,
thank you.
not as useful as Robshaw, though.
Well, at seven, he is. Seven is better, isn't he? Six, Robshaw's better.
Yeah, conclusive.
I think in the traditional role of a seven, Robshaw does that role. And in the traditional role of a six, in inverted commas, Haskell does
that.
Isn't
that the problem, though? Robshaw's never done the traditional role of a seven.
No, I just said of the two, we've talked about this loads of times before, of the two, actually, if you wrote down what are the qualities of a seven...
Neither of them have it.
Neither of them have it, but the one who has it more is Chris Robshaw, and the one who does that job more, he's a link player, he runs those support lines, he can offload. What are the traditional roles? Well, yeah, does he have the traditional... What are the traditional roles of a six? Destructive defence, break and play. That's Haskell.
You are right. Haskell does fit that six box perfectly.
And had Eddie Jones not made such a big thing about the six and seven thing early on in his reign, maybe that actually they would be wearing different number shirts. But also, you look at the flexibility of it. Like, Itoje had six on his back and was packing down at second row. So
Yeah.
So Billy V will be back. Robshaw is back now, but obviously is a long way off match fitness now. He's been out for longer and hasn't played.
Is he back?
He's back training again.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, because I wasn't expecting to see him in the Six Nations at all.
No.
What changes would you make then? Oh, so other than... Because I would probably leave Billy on the bench.
Scrum half.
Yeah, would you stick with Kerr?
Yeah, I'd go Kerr. I'd get Noel back in on the wing to start.
Yeah, I could see that. Anthony Watson's back fit.
I'd probably go back to JJ and Farrell and Ford. With BBT and BBV on the bench.
Yeah.
Ooh, BBV.
I could go for all of those, yeah. Mm. So you have Daly and Noel on the wings.
Itoje and Launchbury. Laws has been great, but Itoje and Launchbury with Laws on the bench.
So you wouldn't retain Itoje at six?
Oh no, because of course there is. I'm thinking in a Rob Shaw Haskell world. Yeah. Toji stays at six.
Yeah, and I think that's what Eddie Jones will do.
Yeah,
I think there is an argument to say perhaps Haskell and Wood could go and do that kind of Rob Shaw Haskell combination. But I think Eddie Jones will stick with Itoji.
Let me find one out for you. How about, as was mooted early doors, it goes Billy, Nathan, and then Haskell.
It's a pretty big back row, that.
Pretty big.
Balance.
That was discussed, though, wasn't it?
It was, but balance-wise, I... I think Ireland didn't look as good when they had Sean O'Brien, Jamie Heaslip, and CJ Stander for that exact reason.
Yeah, too many carriers.
And they looked better. They had. I think Ireland need Peter Armani.
I think they could get away with it because it is big, but Haskell's job isn't really carrying. It's that hard work of clearing out. So maybe they could get away with that.
Yeah, and a long time ago, I kind of said. I reckon you could do just because of the work defensively, ruck clearing, and turnovers that both Billy Vunipola and Nathan Hughes do. Like a couple of years ago, those two were both in the top turnovers in the Premiership.
Yeah, they've got options. They've got the options England have got are ridiculous. It's just, does Jones get the right combination?
Yeah.
Have you done a 15 of England and Scotland players?
Yeah. So, what would a joint 15 look like? Let's just go through. So, loosehead prop, you'd have Mako.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hooker, I don't know because Hartley. I'd go for Jamie George, but if it's Hartley, then I'd think I'd pick Fraser Brown.
It's hard to agree with you and then hard to disagree with you. So I'm going to say, yes, you're right, let's drop the England captain. But that makes no sense because he's England captain. He only ever plays well for England. With that in mind...
Well, he only ever plays for England these days.
Yeah, that is... I mean, he's pretty much given up on Northampton. So, I think you're right.
I'd go Dan Cole at tight head.
Yeah.
So that highlights, again, what we've already seen, that England will probably have an advantage in the scrum. Scotland have creaked.
Mm-hmm.
Xander Fagason's brilliant around the park, but he's a young man.
Yeah.
Joe Launchbury has been so good at second row. I'd probably have him and Johnny Gray.
They're very similar, aren't they, in a lot of ways? Very hard-working.
Yeah. Launchbury has been excellent. He's got back-to-back Man of the Match awards.
Yeah.
And potentially you put... Itoji into the second row there if you were combining a team. That's not what we're doing.
This would wind me up no end if I was Maro Itoji, because I do think the views of pundit, well, not us in particular, but the media does matter. It does matter. So prior to Six Nations, Itoji is the nailed-on starter. So there's actually one position between everyone else and
still
Itoji
is,
starts.
Still is for me.
But actually, no, because at six we're talking about Launch, we're talking about Gray.
And Launchbury's been brilliant.
Yeah.
No, for the Lions, Itoji still stand out in his position for me. Him and Johnny Gray.
But he's not stand out in this game.
No, because
he's been playing six.
Because he's been playing six. Yeah. So I would pick him over Launchbury at second row if I had to pick one. So I went Launchbury, Gray. Again, you just tell me if you disagree, Phil. Back row with the people that Scotland have available.
Yeah.
I went Itoji six, Watson seven, Hughes or Billy eight.
I could go with Watson. I could also put John Barkley in there because I think he's been outstanding.
He was. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, and he's been captain.
Strauss will be out this week, yeah?
Yeah, Strauss is out for the tournament. Yeah.
Halfbacks, Kerr, Russell.
Based on the strength of the tournament, yes, absolutely.
Based on the strength of the tournament...
Well, actually, yes.
Price, Price and...
Price has only played one and a half games.
So it's Kerr. So if you're going to pick Kerr, you may as well pick Price.
Yeah. It's a coin toss. You're right.
So in those key decision-making halfback positions, England, we might take Scotland's over England's. If Scotland can get the ball, they've potentially got an advantage there. Centres, Farrell, Jones...
Farrell.
Yeah.
Jones, yeah.
Yeah, JJ's not done anything outstanding. Dunbar has played well.
Dunbar's played really well.
But he's not enough to... Not enough to get over Owen Farrell.
The thing is about Owen Farrell, right, there are a lot of people that can play 12 better than him, but he's just so critical and such a good player. It's weird, isn't it, to have...
But so few players in the whole world offer that skill set that he has from 12. As in, that... So he can be physical, but that running game, that kicking game, that tactical distribution, all of that, I don't think any other player encapsulates all of those
requirements.
Whilst
also not letting anyone run down his channel.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a weird... It's a weird situation because they're all better pure 12s. I think Ben Teo might be a better traditional 12.
Traditional 12.
Not a better
player.
Yeah. Yeah.
A better traditional 12.
But this is it. Like as we've talked about before, is the traditional 12 being phased out of the game?
Dying breed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Guys like Henry Slade, who's actually more a 10 or 13, can still step into 12 and look better than a lot of traditional 12s.
Yeah, because defences can deal with them so well.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And then back three, where Scotland have got another advantage, I would put Daly on one wing. Although Noel's so good, but on form, you'd have to go Seymour Hogg. But you can toss
no,
a coin.
No, Visser Hogg at the moment, surely.
Visser, we've only seen one game. But
what a game.
It was a very impressive game. It was really impressive game. I would probably, on balance, probably go Hogg. Yeah. It depends if you take it to turning long term or if you're just looking at this tournament in isolation. Tournament in isolation, I would probably go Hogg, Daly, Visser. That's how good his performance was. Long term, I'd probably go Hogg, Noel, Seymour.
You've watched Visser all season. I think going forward, he is probably the best out of the lot. It's his all, maybe defensively, he's a bit it's a coin flip.
The balance of power, and I think this game could hinge up front, is what we're pretty much saying, and that's where England's
tight five.
That's where England are gonna take it.
I'm not sure they will. It depends how this game pans out because Scotland can be very destructive at the breakdown.
Simon, that is a very good point. Actually,
that is a good point. Simon Kelly on our Facebook live feed this Tuesday night said Daly at 15 for England.
Not yet. Not yet.
Noel May Daly. Or
no, May. Why?
I'm thinking in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it may be, but I don't know how May continues.
I don't think it will happen in this game, but
it could. Yeah, I don't think it will happen. It will be Brown.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Right. So we've sort of looked at the runners and riders. We looked at the strengths and weaknesses of the squad. I think we're in a pretty informed position to put our money where our mouth is, boys. What do you think?
What do you mean, Tim?
I mean, let's do our Leo Vegas bet of the week. Where, with our expertise, we can make you...
Very good.
So you may well have noticed when you were watching Leicester Tigers on Friday night, last Friday, although 5 days ago from now, you may have noticed that they have Leo Vegas on the back of their shorts now.
Yeah,
they do.
Official sponsor.
Official betting partner of Leicester Tigers. Leo Vegas love their rugby union, you see. And so they love the Egg Chasers podcast.
Yeah, can I just say, this is a genuine comment here. This isn't just me plugging it because it's a sponsor. Although, for the record, if you want to sponsor us, I would plug you.
Yeah, I was going to say,
if you give me money.
Well, no,
okay?
I'm going to stop you there. I wouldn't let us do something that we didn't believe in.
Oh, I would. I'd put it on the Twitter. I'd do everything.
I wouldn't let it happen. Yeah. I wouldn't let it happen.
Yeah, I'm a mercenary.
Cornerstone, that's a perfect example. People know when they hear us talk about that, we believe in it.
Here's the point.
But Leo Vegas, we believe
in. I wanted to put a bet on Ladbrokes today. I actually went to put a bet on.
A few days ago when it was Bristol
Worcester. Yeah, a few days. Bristol Worcester. Because half time Bristol down, I thought I'll give put 5-5 on Bristol. They did not have. They had Leeds.
That's an endorsement for Ladbrokes at the minute.
No. They had Leeds versus someone on their live game. They did not have any odds for a Premiership game.
Wow,
which is quite astounding.
Oh no, that's outrageous. Well, listen, we love rugby, and we know that Leo Vegas love rugby. So they obviously wanted to get behind the Egg Chasers podcast because you would. Standard,
rightly so.
If they want to reach people that love rugby, they come to us and they come to you. So what they have done is you have a chance to get £20 in bonuses on England versus Scotland, because this is our featured game with LeoVegas.com. So the bet is to predict the points difference.
Yes.
Between the sides.
Now, with all of that informed, or all that information we've just garnered.
Oh, I knew you'd have another layer of information, Phil, with a stat attack. Come on.
There is a little bit more. So, obviously, it's at Twickenham. Scotland haven't beaten England since 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Scotland haven't beaten England at Twickenham since 1983. So history does not bode well for Scotland's chance.
I wasn't born.
Yes, neither of us were born.
Wow.
So that's one thing to consider. Looking back through the games as well, these are historically very low scoring games.
Mm.
And historically decided by relatively small margins. So 5 out of the last 8 games have been by a single score. So with all that information, I'm kind of erring towards England by 7, shall we say. One score, converted try. Anyone got any kind of improvement on that position? Or anyone fundamentally disagree that England are going to win?
I think Scotland's going to win. I've just got a feeling it's going to be by 3.
The first time in 24 years is going to come when England are unbeaten and can level the world record number of wins.
There's a lot, yeah.
Is this game when they level it?
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Is that right?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I think if Scotland win, I think they're contenders for the JB Cup. I need to look into it. But
No, that would only be a 2-game winning streak.
Yeah, yeah. It's very low at the moment.
Is it?
Yeah. England are going to have a rocket up them, because, again, as much as Eddie Jones put the focus on the tactical thing of Italy, as we've already talked about, there will be no doubt in that England squad and from the coaches that the performance was subpar in a lot of areas. They're going to get a rocket up them. Scotland are going to battle admirably, but they're going to get... My prediction is that they will get beaten up front and England will win by 12.
So England by 12, England by 7.
Can you just...
Scotland.
I know both of you are England fans, so you're going to struggle to think about this neutrally, right? But can you not just say it being a low scoring game? It just feels like this is prime for a last... It's like the opposite to the Australia game, which Scotland lost. I think that little bit improved that they will have the last kick of the game.
So again, looking back on history, so England against Wales and against France, they weren't the best team, but they came back towards the end of it and they won it in the last 10 minutes in both those games. Scotland, conversely, historically, admittedly ignoring the Ireland and the Wales games, but they've lost games in the last 10 minutes a number of times over the last few years. But if I just base it on... So looking at all the weight of history, it is categorically in England's favour. But I would say that Scotland, the best bits of Scotland have been better and for longer periods of time over the last 3 games in the Six Nations.
Yes.
I've seen more from Scotland that they are performing well right now. But I just find it very difficult with all of that history beyond England.
I can see... I'm going to change my prediction. I'm going to say Scotland by 7. So I can see them unlocking England, causing them hassle. England have to come back into it. Scotland will be too far ahead.
The breakdown, you mentioned before, that will be fascinating. And the breakdown in the last game was fascinating for a completely different reason, because there was no breakdown.
Yeah.
Whereas this, Scotland will be competing every single rook and making it so difficult for England, and particularly that English back row who aren't very well accustomed to dealing with it.
I think because they are competing, I think that will mean that at some point in the game there will be spaces, and that will mean that England will convert.
Can you honestly see England dealing with that back line of Scotland as well as they have in previous games? Because I've seen Italy, no real threat, but they let Campagnaro in. They struggled with that little move from Wales.
Yeah.
But this is a far superior backline to anything. And France is just France. But it's a far superior backline.
But Tim's point before, and the point from the combined 15, the tight five in England, I think it should give them that platform.
Yeah.
It should give England the platform, and it will disrupt that Scottish platform. So I am also saying this kind of hopefully as an England fan, you are right. But I do find it hard to look past them.
Hear me now, believe me later. Scotland by seven.
By seven. Ooh.
Well, there you go. Well, we're going to put our money where our mouth is, because we're all betting for a chosen charity of our choice.
We are. Mm.
So we'll keep you up to speed.
We'll announce those charities at a later date.
Yeah,
those charities who will be getting absolutely zero when we lose all of our bets.
Yeah. Well, except for me.
Hey! Come on, let's think positively. You've heard our predictions. Get involved and make yours. It's our feature game, which means you can get by signing up £20 in bonuses on the England versus Scotland match, predicting the points difference at leovegas.com. There you go. You just have to decide which of us you actually kind of agree with or disagree with all of us. Fun.
We often get these things wrong, so you're probably better placed than we are.
Next game then, Wales Ireland.
Interesting.
Friday night game. Where do we stand on a Friday night game in general?
Love it. No. Hate it. Don't know.
Conflicted. Is it fair to say conflicted?
Yeah, conflicted. I mean, I didn't like the first game of the Six Nations, England-Wales, being on a Friday night. But then I kind of... Yeah, conflicted. Because, actually, if you think about the whole experience of going to watch the game... So for the TV audience, it's definitely better. But when you think about getting on the train, getting down there, getting on the ales, or the rest of it... Well,
Friday night. I was going to say, definitely if you go to the game, it's undoubtedly a worse spectacle. I mean, it looks great with the lasers and the lights and the darkness and everything in the Principality Stadium.
Flamethrowers going off.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, the biggest waste of fossil fuels that you could possibly ever imagine. It's amazing. It's amazing those things are even ethical now.
It's unreal, isn't it?
It's a sporting event.
But it's all about the waking up on a Saturday morning, getting the bacon sandwich going, and then getting to the pub early doors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Making a proper day of it.
Like I did down in Bath, going for a nice three-course meal in an excellent hotel.
Chablis. Nice, you have a nice Chablis bottle to start with?
No, he had a Gava. Gava.
I always treat myself to a nice Chablis. It's a special occasion. But
Prince of Wines.
But
Prince
like
of Wines,
if Twickenham ever does a Friday night, that's just not Twickenham on a Friday night.
Is cool, though, is a later Saturday game. I'd be all up for that. Like, Saturday at, say, 8 o'clock.
That's the French way, isn't it? They always do that.
Because you can really build the atmosphere throughout the day.
Oh, yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Yeah.
Friday, it's not the night, it's the Friday it's the problem.
And the fact that most people will be working all day and then have to rush.
Yeah.
So you can't, it's the enjoyment, the taking your time. Yeah, completely with you. But that said, as you say, TV audience, it's pretty cool.
Yep,
I quite like it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that on Friday night.
Can you see past an Ireland victory?
I can. I don't think it will happen.
Well, if Wales are to win, where will that be won?
I really struggle to build an argument for this after the Scotland game. What could I say to convince me about this? I don't know. I can see a way.
So, packs. Well, yeah, packs. The Ireland pack is better.
Yep. I mean, they're not just better. They feel to me like they're better in every department.
Well, so Wales have got some very experienced players.
Yeah, but we,
But Ireland also have tremendous experience right across the board.
Yeah. So, like, players like Heaslip and...
They've got a lot of caps in their team, haven't they? Yeah. Rob Carney.
I guess the...
Rory Best. Heaslip, 100 plus,
Rory Best, Johnny Sexton.
I mean, the hope for Wales is the same as it is for pretty much every game. Alan Wynne-Jones rolls back of the years, carries a team on his shoulder. Sam Warburton is imperious at the breakdown. And George Ford can run over everyone. But if that doesn't happen, it isn't great. And I think the experienced player thing, although it sounds great to have hundreds of caps at your disposal, and to a large degree it is great, is also the same, you know, it's also the weakness.
Well, there's always a tipping point, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like the South African team that lost to Japan is one of the most experienced sides that have ever been fielded.
Yep, and off they went. Tipperick's an interesting piece, but he doesn't win it on his own.
So I think it's
hard.
I think the back row is, again, the back row is going to be key because you've got those two scavengers, whereas Ireland don't have that. If Ireland field the same back row as they have
I can't see them fielding the same back row.
But Sean O'Brien and CJ Sander are so effective at what they do, but it just creates risks elsewhere.
I want Amani and O'Brien off the bench.
Yeah, I'd agree with you, Tim. I think Amani and O'Brien's a better balance. And actually, if they do use that power game of Stander and O'Brien, I actually think Wales are relatively okay at countering that. That sort of falls...
Plays into their hands a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. I think they'll still get the red with the green, but that sort of works. Scrum half is interesting. Again, even like...
This is a Lions shootout. This is one really, really fascinating little matchup, isn't it?
Because if... If Webb does really well here, he gets to back up O'Connor.
Connor Murray.
Because Connor Murray is still the outstanding nine in the Northern Hemisphere, if not the world at the moment. His tactical kicking will be better. That is a big weakness of Webb. Webb might be a little bit quicker. Then Sexton.
A fair bit quicker and a lot more petulant.
Yep,
definitely.
Well, hang on. You're doing a massive discredit to...
Connor Murray's petulance.
Yeah, huge discredit, mate. I think that's a badge of honour. They sew onto their jerseys.
Yeah, you're right. For a scrum half, if there was one position on the field, you want that.
Yeah, across the field, I just can't see where they're gonna win this.
Are they gonna stick with a bigger at 10?
Yeah. Oh yeah, they'll definitely stick with bigger at 10.
Yeah, I can't see them going Davis. I don't think they're brave enough.
The only real question decision of any importance is, do they start Faletau?
Yeah, and if they did,
if they were watching the game against Wasps in a poor Bath team, he did carry very well.
Yeah, he was one of the very few players.
Yeah,
who
I think
anything.
It was Faletau, Warburton, and Moriarty.
Would you?
Yeah.
So that's it. So that is almost counteracting the direct threat of the big ball carriers.
Yeah.
Rather than going we'll beat you, an alternative strategy.
Well, the Wales attacking model is very much team-based, isn't it? Round the corner power.
Yeah.
Which is great.
And that's worked really well.
Well, historically, it's got three Grand Slams. So, yeah. Well,
which was the last of those?
There's three. It feels to me as if they pick Bigger, and as much as I love Dan Bigger, it almost feels like they're playing this game to lose by as few points as they possibly can. I think Davis might be a little...
Well, let's be fair. They're playing to arm wrestle a victory away from Ireland.
Yeah.
Which, a couple of years ago when Tim, me and you were there...
Yeah.
They did. And it was an arm wrestle. It was very close. Attritional. It's a wonderful game to watch. Just because of the atmosphere and the aggression and that
8 or 8 minute spell.
Yeah.
Now, this Ireland is battering their line and they repelled it.
Now, this is the thing which I alluded to a few weeks ago on the podcast, and you all thought I was crazy. But I just think as you get older, I mean, can you imagine the intensity it would have taken, that mental intensity, and how enthusiastic and fired up you'd have to be to keep Ireland out for 8 minutes four years ago?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? And I think as you get older, how do you get up for that kind of physical encounter? Year after year after year, it's got to take its toll on you. I can't see Wales reaching those heights, and that's a problem that I have with this Welsh team now.
Well, I think one thing that's changed since, even in a couple of years, and certainly since Wales' last Grand Slam, is teams don't rely on... I mean, like teams like Exeter Chiefs in club rugby are incredibly effective 5 metres out with those simple drills, picking and going and stuff, but teams have the skill sets to mix it up a little bit more and not be so predictable. And that's where Wales' problem has been, is they're just so predictable.
Yeah, well, look, they've always been predictable on attack. It's been a one-trick pony, but it's one hell of a trick, which I really...
It is,
difference is the enthusiasm in defence. So whereas they could beat a team with, say, if they scored 10 points, because you wouldn't score 10 points, they now can't do that because it's just so difficult.
Yeah. And so now you've, again, to beat pretty much any international team now, you've got to get 20 points minimum. To beat really good international teams, you've got to get 30.
Yeah.
Ireland, what needed, how many points to beat the All Blacks?
It? 38 or something like that.
Well, didn't England get like 38 points and 44 points in two of the games against Australia?
Yeah.
And one of those games was only by 4 points they won. So,
well, here's just one last rugby thought on that. What you said about 22, I think the next great coaching innovation is going to be some sort of new strategy to score in the 22, because it's causing so many teams so many headaches. And I wonder if it's going to be something like the stand up maul,
driving mauls.
Yeah, but setting up from centre of the park.
Do you know?
Right. Okay.
I can't see any, because there's, like, I was watching the Bristol game last week. Not to get too deep into this, and I watched Sale on Friday night, and I've watched numerous games, and scoring in the 22 is so difficult now.
That last 5 meters is the hardest.
Yeah, I can't think of a better way to do it.
I can.
Go on.
Now I know.
Crossfield kick.
Watch Super Rugby, and they lost narrowly against the Sharks. But
your beloved Brumbies.
My beloved Brumbies did. It was 2 meters out from the line. It was four pairs of hands in the classic, like the way you're taught at school. Put your hands out, catch, pass
straight across.
Three
the body.
Passes like that. Kurindrani under the post. Watch that try. That's how you score 5 meters out.
And what were they playing Premiership, or was this
the Brumbies?
Brumbies
playing.
Sorry.
Brumbies. Oh, not Sale Sharks.
So super rugby defensive.
Super boom boom.
Right, yeah. So that's my point, really, is, you know, they don't take defence that seriously, do they?
No, but all I'm saying is, like, skills is the answer here.
No,
not clever tactics. I've got brilliant skills.
Exeter Chiefs.
I've got a completely different way of solving this problem to both of you, and it is players who are 4'6" tall with 2.5 foot of head. And penalty try.
That's a good shout. Or, like, as we've talked about, Wasps, the sort of innovation they've brought in the Avicii Premiership is scoring from really deep.
Yeah.
Well, that's for the majority of teams, because it's so hard to score close in.
No, but Wasps score a lot of their tries from halfway.
Mm. And that's...
break, support runners, flood through and execute. That's how New Zealand, I think, score a lot of their tries.
I think you'd be surprised, actually, how common that is. Outside of driving mauls, where are these tries originating from? I think the majority of them will be from outside the 22 halfway, because that's when you've got to be worried about the kicking game, so you drop your guys back.
Yeah, that does create more space, but yeah. Anyway,
we need stats on that. If someone can get some stats, but that's why that's my.
Ireland are going to win, and I think comfortably.
Well, just on the island, so they've got, again, possibly one selection. They might have a couple of others, but possibly one selection to consider.
Zeebo was poor. Sorry.
Zeebo, not great. Trimble's out. Yeah.
Blessing in disguise, that. As good as he has been and is, blessing in disguise, so they can get some new guys in.
Yeah, you've got options there, haven't you? Like Gilroy.
Conway.
Could be a good one. Yeah, Conway. I'd go for Gilroy.
I'd go for Gilroy as well, but I'm just saying.
No, the one will be 13. The...
Ringrose or Payne?
Payne's back. The Payne train is back. Scored a good try. Carried hard.
I think Wales would rather see Payne than Ringrose, but I don't know.
Now, if you're in an arm wrestle, Payne's your man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this could be. And they talk about him as such a leader for that defensive line, which is what is going to be important in this game. So I just wonder if we will see Ringrose on the bench as a potential impact.
Yep.
And because Payne can cover multiple positions, but Ringrose probably can as well. and Payne starting.
Hold on, check this out.
What's your prediction for the fight, Beth?
Prediction?
Yes, prediction.
Payne.
From Rocky III.
Yeah. Excellent.
Mr. T thinks that they'll go with that selection as well for Ireland.
The Payne train.
The Payne train.
Anyway, I'm going to say Ireland to win.
I'm also going Ireland to win.
By how many?
Less than 7 points. I'd
really?
Say. Yeah, I think it'll be. I think this will be tight. Yeah, Ireland by five.
Ireland by 11.
11 in Wales.
Ireland
Wales.
By 15.
Ireland by how many?
15.
I don't want this to be the case. I want a strong Wales. You know.
I don't think Wales are necessarily that much weaker. I think, you know, Ireland are very, very good this year.
Just we've
and Scotland are very good this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're performing exactly as expected.
Yeah. And on we go. Do we need to talk about this one?
France win. France win 50.
Yeah, France win. Good. What surprise? What surprise could Italy have up their sleeve?
No. I'm glad you asked. Actually, Tim, this French team, I can imagine them actually being caught out with this tactic. I can just imagine just doing no homework, showing up and being completely
even though their players haven't been playing top 14 rugby.
Yeah, whoa, what's going on here? And
it's a rook. Come on, sir, it's a rook.
So yeah, I think we're going to see more like more of the same.
Yeah, I could exactly see that. The French have just been kicking back, not doing very much.
Dog Tanyan to absolutely ruin him, and King Louis to do well.
And Parise to have some amazing highlights, probably.
This is in honour of King Louis and Parise.
Parise to have some highlights in his... I was going to say, not in his hair.
No, not in his hair.
Just game highlights.
Just look good, whatever he does.
Oh, cool. He always does. He always has.
But yeah, King Louis.
King Louis v Sergio. Wow. Wow. Nice box office. Matchup.
Yeah, that's going to get annoying, actually. 20 seconds every time we mention King Louis.
If you had to, again, take them in their prime, because, like, you know, Sergio Parise is... He's not over the hill, but he's...
He looks pretty prime to me when he
plays.
He looks
pretty prime. Yeah. All right, so...
Stop on saying right, fans okay. Disagree with you.
So you've got World Cup final tomorrow, and you can have Louis Picamol or Sergio Parise as your number 8. Who'd you pick?
Louis, because at least he's won things in the past. So, oh, hang on, though, Sergio's won a top 14. So
this is like, all right, okay, so this is the fate of the world depends on this game, and number 8 could be the key position.
Who are we playing, right? Because if we're playing someone who are heavy favourites,
the Klingons,
right, okay, so they're heavy favourites, I'm going to play King Louis because I like to watch him play. If we had a reasonable chance of winning, say we're playing the Vulcans, I'd go with Parise.
Well, what about if it was like toss of a coin, 50-50, fate of the world's on this?
I would probably go with Parise, because King Louis looks good whenever, but he's normally playing in a pretty decent team. Parise looks incredible even when he's playing in an absolutely dreadful team.
Sometimes he looks outstanding playing in good Stade Français teams. So
yeah,
it's the only guy who's left, which is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you think about how good they were, how bad they became, how good they became, and how bad they are now. He's been through the whole thing.
Yeah, Parise would have been the number 8 in any team in the world. He probably... Do you think he would have kept Kieran Reid out of the World Cup side?
No, not a chance. I would like to test this theory, because, yes, he is very good. But I wonder if it's kind of...
I think he genuinely could have moved Kieran Reid to 6. I think he'd...
Why not Sergio Parise at 6?
Or Parise at 6, yeah, one of them. I think you'd... They were so good, you'd have to accommodate both of them.
I just wonder, like, if it's a little bit of he is so far ahead of the other Italians, we think he's undoubtedly very good.
Oh, no. Some of his highlights when Stade Français won.
Is that offload? Is it the top 14 final when he throws the offload?
Against Toulon.
Yeah.
Going into the corner.
Ludicrous.
Yeah.
He just sort of says, even in a bad team, he's like, right, I've got this.
Yeah.
I've got this. I don't need you lot. I'm doing it.
I wonder if he'll ever come to the Premiership.
Oh, I hope so.
Who would he best fit in the Premiership?
Sergio.
Anyone.
I'd love to see him at a Quinns. He'd look great in that kit.
He would look good in that kit.
I don't think he's a Quinns player, though.
He's not a Leicester man.
No. Nope.
Leicester need like a
Northampton would fit if they didn't have the king there already. Gloucester, maybe.
No.
But that, I guess that Gloucester does fit with the ups and downs of Stade Francais.
Hang on. Ageing. International.
Yes. Yes.
Sail Sharks.
They must be desperate for people. They must be absolutely so desperate.
They have only got one formally announced signing, haven't they?
And
Strauss.
And that Josh Strauss and that was, and also the farce of that is it was only announced not because Sale wanted to announce it, but because the BBC announced it, and then they went, oh, we're getting Josh Strauss. You've already heard. the four or five world class players that Steve Diamond.
Well, the
promised.
Four now because he's already got one.
What's that?
Josh Strauss. If that's not a world class signing, he's a good player.
Good player.
He is a
good player.
Very good player.
It is a good sign in that.
Is it? Anyway, we don't need to talk about Sam Fox and Josh Strauss.
Yeah. So that's it, I think, gentlemen.
It is. Well, actually, let's update people on the Romania trip.
Okay.
Because it's less than 2 weeks now.
It is.
Week after next. So the headline is, we couldn't get tickets for England v Ireland in Dublin, which everyone thought was going to be a Grand Slam decider. It isn't going to be. It could still be a tournament decider. Very likely will be. We'll wait and see on that one after this weekend's rugby. Don't want to count our chickens before the eggs have hatched. But as a result, we looked around and went, oh, hold on a minute. There's another important game going on in Europe's Tier 2 competitions, referred by some people as Six Nations B, but by
European Nations Championship.
By rugby as,
Cup,
I wrote this down,
A?
European Rugby Nations Championship.
No, Rugby Europe Championship.
Rugby Europe Championship.
Nations Cup tournament.
So we looked at this, and there is a pretty intriguing game going on in Bucharest on the 18th of March.
Yeah.
The capital of Romania, of course, and it's by Romania's Mighty Oaks against Georgia's, what are they called?
Lelos?
I'm not sure.
I don't know what the literal translation of that is anyway. But
hard men, tough men.
Yeah.
Against very hard men from Georgia who are in leading the competition after, what is it, two rounds or three rounds now? Three rounds now.
Three rounds now. Yes.
How did Romania get on at the weekend?
So they travelled to Russia, historic.
Difficult place to go.
Yeah, to Sochi, where the Winter Olympics was held a couple of years ago, and won 30 points to 10. Against a reasonable Russian side.
Yeah, not too shabby a result. So we're going there, we're going to be watching the culmination of the Tier 2 competition, and we just, to start with, extended a little bit of a, hey, well, we're going to be there, if you want to come along, that's cool, maybe we can grab a beer, you might be able to hang around while we do the podcast. Not expecting to sell out a venue of over 100 people, and with more wanting to come but can't come to a live podcast, in Bucharest.
Yeah, we sold out all our tickets in 4 hours.
This is pretty bonkers, and we just thank you very much for that. So, yeah, we're going out there. If you're not going, why should you care? Well, you need to get following at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, Egg Chasers Podcast on Instagram, and listen to the live podcast, because I don't even know what's going to happen.
You'll want to see it. Whichever way it goes, you'll probably want to see it.
Yeah.
It'll be entertaining.
One way or the other, for good or bad reasons, it will definitely be entertaining.
I woke up the other day in a cold sweat, and my wife asked what was wrong. I just said, I was doing a live show. I was in my mind, I was dreaming, it's a nightmare, I was doing a live show.
And it wasn't going well?
I had that dream, you know, when you're naked from like the waist down in your live show and you can't run.
Yes.
That one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it'll be great. It'll be great.
And you were that nervous. It was like, it looked like a little acorn. we're doing a live podcast. You'll definitely want to hear it. If you're coming out, Egg Chasers Facebook page, get there and we'll have all the information, because there's been some developments on the tickets. We're currently in contact, which happens very loosely over email, with Rugby Romania. All we do know is there is this amazing VIP area where it's free food and drink. Well, not free. You pay. It's all you can eat and drink. And the drink options was like local beer and cognac.
Yeah. It's amazing. Isn't it?
And the food was like,
I can't wait to see how it all pans out.
And the food was steak.
Yeah.
So it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, we'll update you on that on the Facebook page. If you still want to come along, that's great. We can't promise you'll get into the live show, but come along for the crack. And World Rugby heard about it and got in touch and said, hey, we might want to come send a film crew and document this.
As far as I know, we've got an embedded film crew all weekend.
A World Rugby film crew hopefully coming with us, which will be able to give you some content to see. And then loads of other people are getting in touch and hearing about this as well. The latest being Raging Bull.
Indeed.
I still want to find out if this was actually Phil Vickery. I like to think this was Phil Vickery has heard about this trip. Can we get Phil Vickery? If Phil Vickery came along, could he be a little guest of honour?
Oh, absolutely.
No.
We can definitely...
Phil Vickery can do what he wants. Of course he can.
Yeah.
I'd quite like to go to the spa with Phil Vickery. That would be good
fun. I think that would be enough to scare him off if he was considering it right then.
No, it'd be great fun.
Yeah.
They apparently sell champagne cocktails in the spa.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Why? What?
I can't divulge any more information on that. Let's just keep it quiet.
Okay.
Move on to the next subject now.
Right, no. Oh, so just to say, Raging Bull heard about that. Phil Vickery's company, which you've played against teams that have Raging Bull team wear and stuff. And
yeah,
kits and stuff.
Broughton Park used to.
Yeah, Broughton Park did, yeah. But I didn't realise they also did leisure wear, and they've said, boys, we'll kit you out so you look in the part in the live show.
I've also got a 50-year anniversary Lim top somewhere made by Raging Bull. It's lovely.
Mm.
When Lim came to Broughton Park,
that green one, poking out up there?
No, that's a different Lim top. No, that is a Wigton top.
Ah, okay.
I've got the green ones. I've got a Wigton. I've got two from Lim, and I've got another one.
You can see all this on the
Facebook Live
Live page. So boys, basically, RagingBull.co.uk. Get on there. Look at they've got some lovely gingham shirts, chinos, wax jackets, all the rest of it. You look the part. Go have a look on there, and we need to kit ourselves out for our live show.
I do love an Oxford cotton shirt, they do have a nice white Oxford cotton
crisp white Oxford cotton shirt. Is that just asking for trouble though? Putting a crisp white shirt on a drinking day.
It'd be well protected by my waistcoat and blazer.
So. Good point, well made. So thank you to Raging Bull, and just get in touch at Rugby Podcast, Facebook, Instagram. We're in all those places, and we will see you on the next podcast after the weekend's rugby. Is Anglo-Welsh happening? Who cares?
It is. I think it's quarterfinals.
Yeah,
Anglo-Welsh.
It's going to happen, and stuff will happen during that game.
Stuff will happen during that game, but we won't. We'll be focused on Six Nations.
Yeah, we'll be checking some of the squads.
Defo. JB, Phil, top work.
Cheers, Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you for listening. Tell your mates. We'll see you next time.
Oh, wrong one.
Yeah.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.